Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. So glad you're with us again today. I have a really delightful guest. Her name is Michelle Slater, PhD, and she's going to tell the true story of her soulmate relationship with a dog named Brady. So, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah. Now, I know you've had many dogs in your life, or several dogs in your life, and you've loved them all, but there was something different about Brady. Can you explain what you mean by a soul dog?
Yes, I absolutely can. And I think that a lot of your listeners will relate to the notion of a soulmate dog or a soulmate animal. I think that the Oxford English Dictionary refers to a soulmate as a human, specifically ideally suited to another. And I extend that definition to be interspecies, because what I experienced with Brady from the very first time that I met him when he was an 8-week old German Shepherd was what people experience as love at first sight. Mm. And I had never experienced that with a human before, but I most certainly did with him. And so I made this unofficial contract. I promised him that I would do my utmost best to protect him, to take care of him, to honor him. And our relationship deepened through many tools that I discuss in Soulmate Dogs, such as animal communication. And I discovered the full-fledged meaning of what it meant to really love an animal like that, or a non-human animal.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. We're definitely going to get into how animal communication helped you throughout your relationship. But I want to ask you, just want to drill down for 1 second about this love at first sight. Now, did you feel, did you know it? Did you hear it? Did you feel it in your bones? Did you smell it? Like, can you just like for one moment, drill down into that, just that moment of knowing?
I can, because I know what I was wearing. I know what his eyes looked like. It was this moment of, you are the one dog, and I am all in. Yes. And it was, we made eye contact. And once we made eye contact, and I picked him up, I was lost, Jeannie. I knew from that moment that I was going to be his person. And we just looked at each other. It was just this knowing of instant love that deepened so profoundly into unconditional love. And he really showed me what it meant to love unconditionally. And I think it's so beautiful in the animal-human connection and relationship. I think that our soulmate animals teach us what it really means to love unconditionally, because they do it so effortlessly and easily in a way that humans have a hard time doing, whether it's childhood wounds or the messiness of the psychology of being human. But I think with animals, it's just very pure. And so that deepened into this unconditional love. And I encountered many people who saw us together and said, oh, they are soulmates.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So people could feel it in your presence. Yeah. We see that sometimes with our therapy dogs that we take to visit different high school students. You can kind of feel when it's a soulmate connection and when it's just love. I mean, there's nothing wrong with love.
There's nothing wrong with love. And so, you know, I told him from the time that he was a small puppy, I said, I'd go to the moon for you. I'll do whatever it takes. If you ever need me, I am there. And then as Soulmate Dog shows in our story, I had every opportunity to prove my words, and I did.
Yes.
I went to every length for him out of that love that we share.
That's wonderful. So can you tell us one story, but we'll get to the next phase of Brady's life. I know he became ill, but what is one story of that, you know, a little later on, the first initial, you knew he was a soulmate, but what was life like in the soulmate zone?
That is an excellent question. And I do go into that. It's some length in Soulmate Dog. I talk about our quotidian life together. And one episode would be that we just loved, both of us, a day where we could both stay home. And I had gardens outside and outdoor spaces so that we could both be outside. And he loved to just even not commune with me through a meal. We would, like, he didn't like to eat unless I was sitting down next to him, having something, even if it was just a cup of coffee or some berries. So we would be together. We would commune together in the most simple terms and spend a day together on our property without having to leave. And we would make eye contact. I might be gardening and he would just look at me and be playing with his ball outside nearby. And we would snuggle, have a nap maybe. And I would be invited out to see a concert or something, and I would decline. I would say that I had plans, and my plans were Brady.
Wow.
So I preferred his company, and we had these moments that we employed even before the animal communication, nonverbal gestures and gazes, and just the feeling of knowing that you were with a profound being that I respected, I admired, I valued.
Wow. And, you know, there's sometimes I think as humans, we have this ache and we try to get another human to fill it. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes what we need is this other quality of love, this unconditional love, this absolute love, this, you know, the love without judgment, love without words, love without conditions. It's so wonderful when we can experience that with any being. But, you know, it's lovely to experience with an animal. So I want to talk a little bit about your journey in learning animal communication, what that was like for you. Do you communicate with other animals other than Brady or other than your own dogs? Tell us about becoming an animal communicator yourself. I know you worked with an animal communicator, but what about your journey?
Yes, I like talking about this because it was so unexpected for me, myself, as a trained philosopher in skepticism, to embrace the notion of telepathic animal communication. Mm-hmm. And it involves really almost a subtle meditative technique of quieting the mind from distractions and being able to tune in to a specific animal and requesting permission to speak with them in a nonverbal way, almost like sending a nonverbal voicemail to them. Mm-hmm. And then you quiet your mind and you listen in, and you could receive the taste of something, a visual image of something, or even words that could form complete sentences. Every animal is different in their form of communicating. So at first, I had appointments and consultations with animal communicator Debbie McGillivray, who was able to tune into Brady on such a high level and respond to such intricate questions with information that provided just irrefutable truths that I knew that it was a legitimate form of communication. Mm-hmm. And once I knew that, I learned myself with Debbie's home study course. And she then gave me animals to practice with, whether they were her own cats, dogs, horses. I attended her workshops where we would practice with each other's animals. And that was very interesting. I had one experience that I write about in Soulmate Dog, Jeannie, in which my practice partner and I were working together, and I had connected with her dog. And she had asked me the question, how can I show my partner, my husband, that this animal communication is really true? Mm-hmm. And so I asked that to her dog. And her dog, I had this visual picture of these medals, like war medals, in a drawer under some t-shirts or something. And I thought, okay, I wonder if I'm getting this right. This doesn't make sense, but I said it out loud to her. And she gasped because she said, "But those are my husband's relatives' medals." Mm-hmm. And she knew exactly where they were in the drawer. And so she was, so her dog was showing her this to try to prove that it was actually true and real. So I had these interesting experiences that kept confirming for me that animal communication is a viable way to develop our relationship with animals. And then it became a very important tool, which I employed. I called myself, and I still do, an intermediate level animal communicator. And I do communicate with Genji, my wonderful Swiss white shepherd who's here with me. And of course, I did very much so with Brady. But when it came time for us to employ animal communication in his medical journey, mm-hmm. I did need the help of Debbie for more higher level questions. But it was very important to me because he could advocate for himself as a patient through this mm-hmm. tool. And I could check in with him when he was ill and verify that he wanted to continue his treatments, that I wasn't imposing anything on him. And that so it became very important in his medical journey as well.
Yeah, and we really want to talk about that because we'd like to see animals be more partners in their medical healing journeys. You know, we're not for, we're not against in anything. We have no position, but we really want to see animals communicate what their needs and wants are. And I think so many people would like that. And it'd be wonderful if that was the routine, the norm, you know, that there were animal communicators on staff with vets or whatever it is, however it could work, where people could get access to a two-way conversation. Now, I know you've been in both worlds. You've been in the science world, the philosophy world, the left brain world, the logical world. Have you found that they are accepting of some of these ideas, or is it still too far out for them? How do you deal with people who don't believe? Let's put it that way.
That is an excellent question. And whereas I do feel that traditional allopathic veterinary medicine is far more open to holistic veterinary treatments, I did find myself almost embarrassed to mention to his veterinary surgeons, his kidney specialists, that I was employing the techniques of animal communication. At this point, clearly, I wouldn't be, and the book is out there. But what I did discuss is with his holistic vet, with Brady's holistic vet, and they were open. And I do think that the realm of animal communication is becoming more mainstream. It's more well known. It's becoming more practiced. There are more animal communicators out there. Mm-hmm. And I think we could be getting close to the possibility of having an animal communicator on staff or on call or available for consultations. And fortunately, it can be done at distance, so it doesn't need to be someone in the office. I would absolutely like to see that happen because, as you said, I think it's so important for animals to be able to advocate for themselves. Yes. And that is a primary way that they would be able to do so. So I'm all in favor for it.
Yes.
So I promote it any way I can.
Yes. I'll have to connect you up. There's another animal communicator in Switzerland, and we had her on our show, Paloma Berchi, and she has a rabbit who will do veterinary visits at a distance and get in and diagnose very specific things. Now, the rabbit is not a veterinarian, but the rabbit will say, "Go look at this thing here." You know what I mean? We'll give very accurate information that she's been able to use with the veterinarian. So it's just amazing when there are some animals that are particularly, I'm not good at it at all. I do animal communication, but I would never approach diagnostic conversations because I don't have that training. But, you know, when you find an animal that can do that and help humans do that, it's just a very exciting new arena. You know, it's like a revolution in animal-human partnership when we open those communication doors.
It absolutely is. I would like to be connected with Paloma very much so. I was not aware of the concept of a rabbit being able to do that, but it's not unfamiliar to me because Debbie McGillivray employs diagnostic scans in her practice communicating with animals. And that is actually what first rendered it credible for me. Because in my very first appointment with her, when I still had all of my skeptical questions on the side, she conducted a body scan of Brady. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that this was possible. This came up at the end and I was surprised by it. But she said, oh, so in his spine, his lower lumbar is out, L4, mm-hmm. something to that effect. And she said, you should really take him to an animal chiropractor. So I did that right away without mentioning the animal communicator's input whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And almost immediately after scanning his spine, she said, okay, so I'm going to work on his lower lumbar L4, which is out of alignment. And I found that to be the legitimation that I needed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it also showed me what could be done. And along the way, with Brady and Debbie, she kept being able to check in and diagnose various things and be able to communicate with him about the degrees of pain he had when he was ill, et cetera. So I think it's a very powerful tool that could be used on a practical level to help animals.
Great. Well, we're going to take a short little break, but when we come back, I want to hear in much more detail. I know it was a kind of a sad and rough turn as Brady's health took a downturn, but how you and Brady stayed in communication through the entire process. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection Show. We are speaking with Michelle Slater, PhD. She's the author of Soulmate Dog That Tells the True Story of Her very profound relationship with a dog named Brady. So, Michelle, tell us the story of, we don't want to get too graphic or too horrible and sad, but just briefly tell us how, what was happening with Brady's health and how you used animal communication to navigate.
Yes, I'm happy to do that, to encourage anyone out there who might be interested in animal communication to employ that in conjunction with medical treatments. Mm-hmm. For it to by no means take the place of medical treatments, but right. As a way to accompany it. And so when Brady did become ill, to my shock, as he was a very healthy 5-year-old athletic German Shepherd, as I describe in my book, Soulmate Dog, he contracted leptospirosis, even though he had been vaccinated for leptospirosis. And the symptom that he had from this spirochetal disease was acute renal failure. And I first knew that he was ill because he started to collapse, to have an absence of appetite, and he became polyuric, which means that he was drinking water excessively, he had excessive thirst, and all of his behavior showed me that he was very ill and needed my help. And so when we arrived at the emergency hospital and it became clear that he was going to have to stay overnight, and he had an extended stay, a several week stay at the emergency hospital, I started to have regular consultations with Debbie McGillivray, the animal communicator that Brady and I employed. And she was able to check in with Brady not only about how the treatments were working, how he was responding to them, but something that was important to me on a moral level, from a philosophical perspective, and that was to make sure that Brady wanted to continue the treatments, mm-hmm. that I wasn't imposing something on him that he didn't want. that he felt that he had a chance for recovery through these treatments. I wanted to make sure that he felt supported and check in to how he was really doing as a patient beyond what the numbers were telling us. Mm-hmm. And so what he kept communicating was that he felt very supported by me, mm-hmm. and that he very much wanted to continue his treatments, and that my love and support was like a cord of light pulling him up out of the weeds. Mm. And in fact, he even used a line from a song that I kept singing for him, in the hospital. So he was in tune with all of that, and it was very supportive for him. But there were times after he came out of the hospital, after he came through that ordeal, when we then relied heavily on holistic treatments, that Debbie would see things before the vet did, or before I had even taken him to the vet. Like, his red blood cell count would be down, and she would say, Mish, you really need to address his red blood cell count, or you should try this homeopathic remedy for this particular element of his wellness. And so when I would take him to the vet, that would always be confirmed. Mm-hmm. So I learned that this was a powerful and accurate tool to add to our holistic tools, our allopathic tools, and we employed it to the fullest extent.
That's great. Now, I think it's wonderful that you were consulting with him and making sure that, you know, because I know that some of these treatments were very rigorous and somewhat invasive and not easy for either of you. Did you ever ask him, you know, how he felt about being ill? Like, I know I'm a terrible patient. When I'm sick, I'm grumpy, I'm unhappy, I'm mad at the world, you know. What was it like in dog world to be that ill, to be, you know, knowing that he was really facing a life and death battle?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And it's, at times, he did feel grumpy. He did feel like he had been poked and prodded. I mean, there were so many different needle pokes in him, from having to change the IV port. And at other times, so he would communicate that. And at other times, he just said that my love was pulling him through, and that he felt confident. Sometimes he felt like he was losing hope in his own recovery. Mm-hmm. And when he felt that, I would sleep over at the emergency hospital. Mm-hmm. The only human to have done that up until that point. I would ask if I could bring my sleeping bag. And we were on this concrete floor that smelled like bleach and would have this noisy IV machine in the background. But when he said he was losing hope, I went and I slept with him at the emergency hospital. It meant the world to him. And he would curl up to me and put his head on my chest. And the technician would have to come in through the night and keep changing his port, or his IV bags, rather. And so I would support him in those moments.
Mm, wow. And did he ever talk to you about death? I've heard some animal communicators say that animals don't talk about death. They don't even, you know, use the word. They will talk about transitioning what did Brady have to say about dying?
We talked about death a lot. It was very important to me, because of the way that my childhood German Shepherd Joy died when I was away at boarding school. I wasn't there to help her, to support her, to be there for her. And after what Brady had endured at the emergency hospital and in veterinary offices, I wanted to guarantee that I was going to be there for him. And I did not want to abandon him in that moment. And we talked about it a lot, because I was very sad when I noticed that he was on the decline. And he always said, and I remember these words very clearly, because Brady was one of the dogs who Debbie said that he was such an old soul, as she called it, because he communicated on a very high level in complete sentences, paragraphs. Sometimes he would say to her, you should just be writing this down. Mm-hmm. And what he said was, my body is just a piece of paper. Our love does not end when my body dies. Our love will continue in spirit. And when I would ask him, there was a time at the end of his life that I did have to go away to support someone who was actually grieving the loss of their husband. And I said, please do not die without me. Just wait for me to come back if you're going to leave me now. And he said, you don't get to decide. You don't get to decide the time or the place, but I'll do my best, essentially. And then it was very important for us to be together. And so we had a moment at the end where the vet actually said it may be time to help him. Not every dog goes on their own. And I had this conversation with Debbie and with him. And he indicated that he wanted to be with me. And I don't want to give this away in Soulmate Dog, but I will just tell you that Brady choreographed his own death. I feel very convinced of that. And it was the most loving, supported death. And it felt very much like he was almost choosing that path so that he would provide some comfort to me as I began my own process of grieving. But he made it very clear that this death was not as big of a deal as I thought it was, mm-hmm. that his spirit was bigger than his body. That's literally what he said. My spirit is bigger than my body. My body is just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. And have you been communicating with him since he's left form?
Yes, I have. I have. And he was also very funny. And he said that he was working on some of the issues that he had during his lifetime. He had a traumatic experience in his lifetime with a trainer, and it left him with some aggression towards certain males who resembled the trainer. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had worked through that. And then he told me what I needed to work on and my own journey. So that was so like him. Uh-huh. And we did have conversations like that, which of course meant the world to me. And I marveled at the ability, Debbie, I wasn't confident in my own ability to connect with him on that level. Uh-huh. But Debbie did. And then there was one time that I was grieving him, and I was actually in Patagonia specifically to grieve him. I needed to walk it out. My grief was so deep. And I was gazing out at the mountains. And he said, I did this for you. I planted this idea in your mind because all these years that you took such beautiful care of me, I wanted you to go enjoy this beauty. And this is what you deserve. Wow. It's like my gift to you. And it would just, I can't even express what that meant to me. I heard him so clearly.
Yes. And what did he tell you about your lessons? What did he have to say? I mean, here he knew you better than anybody, probably having spent a life with you, his life with you. What did he tell you about your lessons?
It's very interesting. And I did write about this some in my first book, Starving to Heal in Siberia, about my recovery from late stage Lyme disease. Very funny that we both had medical memoirs for myself and for Brady. He said I needed to work on my own problem of unworthiness. He said that I walk around happy with a smile on my face, and on the interior, I doubted my self-worth. And that was so very true. Mm-hmm. And I write about that in Starving to Heal. And I really did work on that. And in spite of two masters and a PhD, I did have that sense. And when I did overcome it, then I started writing these books, and they just flowed out of me, Starving to Heal, Soulmate Dog. And I have a novel, The Lunatic, that is coming out in March. And lo and behold, the co-protagonist is a dog who employs the subtle forms of animal communication without that ever being named in the novel. So that might be interesting for your listeners as well.
Great. Well, in just the last moment we have left, what would you like to leave our listeners with? A little bit of wisdom from, well, let's ask Brady. Does anything Brady want to say to his audience here?
I think that Brady would like to say that he celebrates all of the soulmate relationships out there, and to celebrate that love and never be ashamed of saying that you have a soulmate animal, because people might think that that's weird, but to embrace that and explore how profound that can really be.
That's beautiful. And anything from you that you'd like to leave our audience with?
I hope that Soulmate Dog will provide comfort to those who might be grieving. I hope that it'll provide inspiration. And I hope that it will even help some dogs with their own medical journeys, whatever they may be, to employ not only animal communication, but also combination of the allopathic and holistic remedies. And I just want to say that this story is a love story that celebrates interspecies love. And I hope it brings joy to the readers.
Great. And I know you have another wonderful dog. Let's just tell our audience a little bit about your new dog and your new relationship.
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. I am here in Switzerland with Genji, who is a gentle soul, a five-year-old. He'll be 5 years old on Sunday, Swiss White Shepherd. And he's very different from Brady. He's more of a listener. He's not this charismatic ham that Brady was, but he is this very gentle soul, very profound in his own way. Mm-hmm. And I am honored to be his human companion.
Great. Well, it's wonderful that you were able to go through your grieving process and open your heart one more time, even knowing that there would never be another Brady, but yet there's room in your heart for another dog. So that's a beautiful
story. That's
exactly
right. Thank you. That's exactly well stated.
Well, I want to say thank you so much, Michelle. Michelle Slater is the author of Soulmate Dog. So thank you so much for being a guest on our show today.
Jeannie, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. We'll say aloha for now.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.